British Sky Broadcasting and Millennium Films present Cleaner, directed by Rennie Harlin, starring Samuel L. Jackson as Tom Cutler, Kiki Palmer as his daughter Rose, Ed Harris as Eddie Lorenzo, Eva Meads as Anne Norcutt, and Louis Guzman as Jim Vargas. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. Present-day America. A young woman walking along a street, carrying a bag of shopping and a bunch of flowers. Smoke billows from a car exhaust.
Take, for instance, last week. A woman's going to visit her mother. She has a bag of groceries and a bouquet of flowers to brighten up the place.
Mom!
She looks around the apartment.
Mom? Mom.
What she doesn't know is 3 days prior, her mother's fallen off a footstool in the kitchen, busted her head open, and broken her neck.
She drops her shopping and clasps her hands over her mouth in horror. She enters the kitchen and kneels over her mother, who's lying in a pool of blood.
By the time she gets there, her mother's body is bloated with bacterial gases. There's fluids leaking from her eyes, ears, nose, mouth. You get the picture.
Her body lies on a mortuary slab.
Well, death is tragic.
A coffin showroom.
But it's also big business.
A mortician sprays the woman's hair as she lies in a coffin. A man fills a hearse at a petrol station. A vicar conducts the burial service.
Some people deal with it spiritually.
A lawyer reads the will for the family.
Others deal with it legally. But what most people don't know is that when someone dies in your house, it's up to you to clean up the mess. Well, sure, the city will come and take the body away. But what they leave behind is your own personal little souvenir. Now, most people don't have the stomach for that. That's where I come in.
A tall black man, Tom Cutler, opens his van door.
Now, cleaning a body is actually a lot like cleaning any other household spill. There are three basic steps. First, you get rid of all the bugs.
He switches on a fumigator.
HIV, herpes, tuberculosis, adenovirus, hantavirus, E. coli. Now, I assume all those things are present, so I spray everything with my own personal little cocktail of antivirals and disinfectants. And just between you and me, I also throw in a little Listerine, the original flavor. There's an enzyme that liquefies coagulated blood. You gotta use the original flavor, though, not that new blue or orange shit.
Tom's friends look stunned.
Well, Tom, that's, I mean... I'll be right back.
Didn't you used to be a cop?
Yeah. Yep, I did. Didn't have the stomach for it. Oh, Jeff. Well, what's going on with you?
Well, I'm still in the mortgage game. Doing good there. Of course, there's Laura and the kids. All great. Laura's mom, she's getting up there. She's been sick. She's staying with us now in the back bedroom. There's some days she doesn't come out of there at all.
He frowns.
Tom, you wouldn't happen to have a card on you, would you?
Oh, yeah, sure, sure, yeah. Here you go.
Can I have one?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's enough here for everybody. Yep, this is good. Call me. Dairy Queen. That's me.
Thank you.
Gee, it's great to see you.
Tom arrives home. He locks, bolts, and chains the front door, then hangs his key on one of three hooks marked Tom, Rose, and the third's nameplate's missing. He takes out a pair of slippers from a closet and puts in his shoes, straightening the laces.
How was it?
It was... Funny.
Funny how?
Oh, you'll see in about 30 years.
Would kindle any old flames?
No, baby, that candle burned out years ago. I'm beat. Going to bed.
Good night.
You're going to stay up and watch this movie? These people talking like that all night? They're talking like...
Yeah,
I want to
see how it is.
I love you, Rose, and I'll love you until the end of time, because you're the kind of girl I've always wanted in my dreams, and you're the girl of my dreams. Love you, baby.
Where'd she go?
Out someplace.
No, no.
Tom neatly places his cell phone, mints, wallet, and business cards on his dressing table. He undoes his tie, folds up his shirt, and places it in one of three laundry bins. In his vest and pants, he vigorously scrubs his nails in the bathroom. He carefully removes two cushions from his bed and places them on a trunk at the end. He climbs into bed and puts out the light. Tom is with an employee at his office.
Last night I dreamed I was changing my baby's diaper and it was filled with blood. And when I looked up, he was fucking dead. You know, and then I had to come in and clean the crib, right? I gotta clean it up before the mama comes in.
You want some gum, mints, aspirin?
I could use a drink.
How about we start with the aspirin?
You got a little girl. What do you tell Rose? What do you tell her you do?
She knows what I do. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We don't clean up blood. We clean up anger, grief, heartache.
Looks like blood.
Tom shrugs.
Just tell yourself that our clients are in trouble. We help them out.
Tom leans forward on his desk.
I hate to see you go, Miguel. I don't want to burn you out either. What say you come in a couple of days a week, restock the vans, give Sherry a hand around here, lighten her load, okay?
Miguel stands up.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you. Look, I owe you one.
Nah, you don't owe me shit. We all good. Go home, spend the day with your family, all right?
Miguel leaves. Sherry, Tom's PA, enters.
He quit?
No, he's gonna help you out around here.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. These two are yours.
She chucks down three forms. Tom reads, 45 abandoned cats.
45 cats?
We're short-staffed.
Give this to Polly.
Polly's sick. Freddie and Jose are in that meth lab in Howell. Miguel quit.
No, he didn't quit.
And Victor's allergic. Hey, at least nobody died there.
Probably smell better.
Good morning, Stericlean.
He studies another form.
Please hold. Eddie Lorenzo's on too.
I'm in the field.
Again?
I'm in the field.
You're gonna have to take it sometime. Okay. I'm so sorry, Mr. Lorenzo. He's in the field.
Tom mouths, thank you. She pokes out her tongue at him and leaves.
Can I take a message?
A Christmas tree-shaped air freshener swings from Tom's van's rear mirror as he pulls up. He checks the form on his clipboard. 1257 Ridgewood Way, West Trenton. He glances at the imposing house with its red roof and arched veranda. He turns off the engine. He approaches the front door with his clipboard and case, putting it down when he spots a piece of tape marked evidence with a serial number across the door. It's been broken. So has the evidence seal marked homicide, officer, Detective Jones. Tom checks the form and reads, the key is under terracotta planter on front porch. He lifts a pot and finds the key. He unlocks the front door, picks up his case, and enters.
Stericlean! Anybody here?
He looks around the large hall with its sweeping staircase and polished wood floor. He turns and enters a reception room, slowly walking through double glass doors into a sitting room. He stops. In front of him, a white leather corner sofa plastered in blood, which is also spattered up the wall and window and on the glass coffee table. Tom looks down, then places his clipboard on a stool and his case on the bar. He opens the case and takes out a dictaphone and a Polaroid camera and rubber gloves. He switches on the dictaphone.
Official recording. This is Tom Cutler on April 6th. Case number 3 Mary 445 Charlie 378. Personal residence. Homicide. No one home. Key was left on the front porch. Blood and tissue on the sofa. Wall. Tile floor. Last coffee table.
A flashback of a bullet being fired from a gun. There's blood on glass chess pieces. Tom dips a piece of paper into the blood on the table.
Blood, soft chip, approximately one day old.
His photos show bloody handprints on the sofa and a pool of blood on the black and white tiled floor. He opens his case and takes out a scraper, paper towels, and cotton buds. He sprays the blood that spattered onto the French window, wearing overalls, a visor, and a mask. He sprays the black gore on the table and scrapes it off over the edge. It falls off in gooey lumps. He sprays the corner of the white sofa and scrubs it vigorously with a brush. The cleaning process is speeded up. He wipes the sofa with a towel. He places a white cloth on the floor to soak up the thick, congealing blood. He wipes the tiles, then carefully cleans around the panes of glass in the French window. He uses a cotton bud to clean in the corners of the window frame. He drops the blood-stained glass chess pieces into cleaning solution. He slowly wipes along the back of the seat on the now pristine white leather sofa. The glass coffee table and chess pieces are sparkling. He places the bloody cloths in a bin and shuts the lid. He surveys the immaculate room, picks up his case, and leaves. He arrives home and locks, bolts, and chains the front door, then hangs his keys on his hook.
Wow, something smells good.
How was your day?
Long.
He notices a box and some items on the coffee table.
Where's your mom's box out?
It's a surprise.
He stands in the shower, shutting his eyes and bowing his head as the water cascades over him. He sits at the dinner table.
Are your eyes closed?
Yeah, they're closed.
She places a dish on the table and removes the lid with a flourish.
Open. I found the recipe in her old book. I can't remember, but is this how it used to look?
Yeah, that's exactly how it used to look. Why'd you take the box out?
It's interesting, actually. I have to do a history report on a historical figure from the last 50 years.
Really? So who are you doing?
She sits down.
Mom.
Your mom's a historical figure?
My teacher thinks it's a good idea. She said it's original.
Yeah, it's original, all right. You know who'd be really good?
I kind of already started. Maybe if you have time later, you can help me?
Sure, but not tonight. I have to do payroll.
She looks crestfallen.
I don't have to do, Mom. Who are you going to say?
Nobody. No, Mom's a good idea.
She starts to eat.
I got a call from your math teacher today. Says you've been sleeping in class.
I nodded off like twice because he's so boring. And he's making this huge thing out of it.
Bottom line is, it's got to stop now. So no more of those mocha things after 5, and I want you in bed by 11:30. We clear?
She nods.
Hey, I'm not punishing you. I just want you to get your sleep, okay?
She looks down.
Now, you know, if there's anything bothering you, I'm here for you, right?
I know.
Is there?
What?
Anything bothering you?
No, it's the mochas. I'll cut back.
One thing's for sure. You're just as good a cook as she was.
She smiles and continues eating. Tom sits on the flat roof of his apartment block reading the local paper headline, Police Department Shakedown, Grand Jury to Convene. He leans back in his chair and opens the paper to read more. He studies a photo of the former commissioner, Robert Vaughan.
Dad! Dad! We're gonna be late!
He picks up his mobile phone and wallet from the tray on top of a bookcase in the hall and puts them in his pocket. From his pocket, he takes out the key from the house he's just cleaned and looks annoyed with himself for still having it. He pulls up outside the house in his van. He goes through the garden gate carrying his clipboard and the key and walks up the path between the extensive front lawns to the arched veranda.
Come in!
He enters the large hall, looking around.
Hello?
My little nephew, not that you look like you're turning 10 today, but can I help you?
Yes, is this your house?
Yes.
Well, I'm Tom Cutler. I run the cleaning service you hired.
I'm sorry, we have a housekeeper and we're really happy with her.
No, we're not that kind of cleaning service. I was saying, we did a job here yesterday and inadvertently...
Excuse me, sir. We weren't home yesterday. What kind of cleaning service are you?
Well, is your husband home? Perhaps I could talk to him.
No, he's out for the moment. You can talk to me.
Okay. Well, we cleaned up after what happened.
After what happened?
I'm sorry, Mrs...
Norcutt.
He checks his clipboard.
Norcutt. Not Collins?
No.
Norcutt is on the form.
Is this Ridgecrest Lane?
Ridgewood Way.
See, there. There's a mistake right there. Once again, my office got things mixed up. I'm sorry to have taken your time.
She tries to glimpse the clipboard as he turns and leaves. She leans in the doorway, watching him suspiciously. He's on the phone in his office.
3 Mary 445... Charlie 378.
Sherry plonks some forms on his desk.
Sign these. I'm going to Benny's. You want anything?
I'm sorry, there are no matches for that case number.
Who called this in?
West Trenton PD.
Who exactly?
Right there. Jones.
Sir?
Detective Jones, please.
There's no one by that name, sir.
Oh, thank you.
What happened? They stiff us?
Just trying to sort some stuff out.
All right. What do you want from Benny's?
I'm not hungry.
He turns away, looking thoughtful. She leaves. He stands with his hands in his pockets, then pulls out the key and looks at it. He tosses it in the air, looking troubled. On the form in front of him, release C, Tom Cutler, 11607. He takes a large envelope and drops the key in it, then gathers up the Polaroid photos he took of the crime scene and puts them in, together with the form. He opens his desk drawer, lifts up a tray and shoves the envelope underneath. The drawer won't shut. Looking anxious, he flattens the envelope and succeeds in closing it, then picks up his house keys. He's in his van, listening to the radio.
Police Commissioner Robert Vaughn stepped down in disgrace last year, following allegations of widespread corruption and bribery.
Earth to Dad.
Grand jury is expected to hear testimony.
I said next Tuesday is take your daughter to work day.
Ain't gonna happen, sport.
I'm totally joking.
He shakes his head ruefully. He arrives home and locks and bolts the door. He sips from a glass of whiskey and sits on the roof terrace, looking down at the street below, lit by car headlights. He watches a police car pass and gulps. He's looking at a picture in a newspaper of the Trenton woman and her husband, the headline, County Man Missing.
Eddie Lorenzo, line one. In the field again.
He removes his glasses wearily.
No, I'll take it.
He goes over to his desk and tosses down the paper and his glasses. He stares at the phone before picking it up.
Wow. It must be a full moon.
What the hell's going on, Tom? You think I'd never find out?
Huh? Rosie makes the playoffs. I gotta read about it in the local sports section.
I'm gonna be there.
I already marked it down.
That would be really great. She'll appreciate that.
Yeah, if she remembers me.
Of course she remembers you.
Hey, you think you'll be getting thirsty tonight?
Oh, I think I could probably be persuaded.
Vix?
Yeah, Vix. 8 o'clock.
All right, Vic City.
Just like old times.
See you there, man.
Excellent.
Tom clears up blood from the veranda of a dilapidated house. There's a bullet hole in the window.
She worked at a movie theater. She used to sneak me in and we'd watch movies. Well,
She'd watch, and I'd watch her. It was a very small wedding. Just me, her, her parents, her friend Jules, and Eddie. We went on vacation to Mexico, and 9 months later, you showed up. That's the short version, and that's all you get. How much more?
Just a couple. I want to talk a little bit about what happened to her.
Where'd you find that?
A cross and chain.
It was in a box. So, what happened to him?
I thought this was about your mother.
I'm supposed to be thorough. He was killed, right?
Yes, he was killed.
How?
In prison, where he should have been for what he did to her.
I know, but how?
I don't know, Rose. It's prison. Prison's a dangerous place. Look, I really don't think you ought to be putting all that in there.
She looks upset. He stares at the ceiling, exasperated.
I'm sorry. Any more questions?
That's all for now, I guess.
She turns off the tape recorder on the kitchen table and stands up.
I have to go out for a while. You gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Eddie and Tom are in a busy bar.
Yo, Rick. You coming out?
Hey, where you been hiding, Tom?
Well, I've been around. So, things as bad down there as they say in the paper?
And worse. 35 guys filed for early retirement this month alone.
Everyone's afraid they're going to find the money trail and start naming names.
IA's everywhere. The DA's subpoena happened. You so much as brushed by Robert Vaughn in the hall, they want to know about it.
Think he'll go down?
You know how it is. Tom's got a lot of guys around, loyal guys. He's protected.
She came home. She found his clothes and car gone. The police have recovered his car at the Berkeley Square train station. But security tapes show that he never boarded a train.
Know anything about that?
Rumors of foul play have shrouded this once.
Yeah, that came down today.
So what's the story?
No story. Some guy skipped out on his wife. Why?
No reason.
You better catch up. I'm gonna kick your ass here.
Nah, I'm still working on this. Don't worry.
How am I gonna know what's on your mind if you don't get hammered?
Something happened at work's got me a little turned around. That's all.
Well, considering the kind of work you do, it must have been a hell of a something.
Hey, turn that off. Prayers for John's safety. Turn that off. Lift return
home. What can you tell us about Northrup's disappearance?
We're just treating this as a missing persons case. Thank you very much.
Gee, can I have your autograph?
Man, I spoke to that asshole for 15 minutes, man.
Holy shit!
Here he comes, Tommy.
Tom Cutler!
Kim Vargas. Hey.
Holy shit, how you doing?
Good, man, good.
Good to see you. Lorenzo, regular class reunion, huh? Hey, somebody tell me, you're cleaning up stiffs?
That's right.
No shit. Man, I thought they were yanking my chain, man, of all the crazy rackets, huh?
Hey, we can't all be TV stars like you, Jeff, you know? So when'd you go to missing person?
Missing person? I'm homicide, baby. Oh, that? That's for the press, man. Fuck the press. Technically, it's a missing persons case. I'm just getting a head start.
Well, what makes you think he's dead? According to the paper, his bags were packed. He found his car at the train station.
You sound like you know more about it than Jim.
Well, you know, but the papers doesn't tell you everything. And I get that old Columbo feeling every now and then, you know. Come on, Jim, help me out. Throw me a bump. Off the record.
All right, off the record. Neighbor saw a plumbing van there day after he disappeared.
Tom raises his eyebrows querulously.
If he left his wife, why would he hire a plumber, huh?
Wow, Detective Jim, that's some crack police work there. What's your badge made out of, chocolate?
Solid brass, Lorenzo. You want to come by sometime and polish it?
Oh, you mean the IA's letting you keep it?
Whoa, hey. Hey, we're just talking here.
Eddie gives Jim a dirty look.
Good to see you, Tom. Good to see you doing well after all that shit. What are you drinking, bud?
Mountain.
You good? All right. Next time.
He leaves, glancing icily at Eddie. Tom smiles, bewildered.
What's wrong with you?
He's a fucking asshole. You want to hear something that won't make the papers?
Yeah.
This missing guy, Norcutt, he knew Vaughn. The word is he cut a deal with the DA to testify.
How'd you come by that?
I didn't come by nothing. I don't know shit. All I know is right before the grand jury convenes, Norcutt goes missing. This asshole's put on the case.
Tom shrugs. They leave the bar in a downpour.
Yeah, Tommy, it was that domestic on 36.
Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Come on, get under here. Get under here. I'm not letting you drive.
Come on. Come on, we are parked in a red zone.
It's not the only thing that's in the red zone. Come on.
They get into Tom's van.
How old is my goddaughter now? 13, 14?
14. Buckle up. It's the law.
You're getting old, brother. You had the right idea, though. Family first. Man doesn't have a family, he doesn't have shit.
Eddie shakes his head.
I'm doing that outreach stuff now. You know, after-school programs, it's the only thing keeps me sane. What? What's so funny?
After-school outreach? Who are you, and where did you put Eddie?
I'm a very complex man, Tom. And I'm fucking starving. Let me buy you some waffles.
All right.
Hey, what happened at work today that you wanted to talk about?
Nothing, I can handle it.
They pull away in the driving rain. Tom is in a lift. He arrives in his office and approaches Sherry.
Hey, anything pressing?
No, but...
I'll be in the office.
A woman is in there, her back to the door.
There's someone waiting for you.
Tom gives Sherry a dirty look, then enters.
Mr. Cutler.
I'm not sure if you remember me. You came by my house this weekend.
Oh, yeah, the birthday party. Sorry about the mix-up. This is
Norcutt, Ann Norcutt, not Collins, as you could see.
Yes.
You want to sit?
I'd rather stand.
How can I help you?
I asked you a question back at my house, and you never answered me. What kind of cleaning service do you run here?
Oh, we specialize in biomedical and biohazardous abatement and sanitation.
You clean crime scenes?
Well, yeah, but that's only a small part of what we do. Didn't Sherry give you one of our brochures?
I'm not sure if you've read your paper yet there, Mr. Cutler, but my husband is missing.
That's your husband? I'm sorry.
The day after my husband disappears, a crime scene cleaner shows up at my door talking about a job he did at my house. What am I supposed to think about that?
Ms. Norcutt, I explained to you why I came by your house. I'm sorry for the mix-up. Now, if you have information that will help the police find your husband, I suggest you go to them with it.
What makes you think I haven't done that already?
Well, if you had, I'd be talking to them, not you.
He stands up and goes to the water cooler.
I'm a retired police officer, Mrs. Marcutt. In my line of work, I'm in regular contact with the police. If there were anything questionable about a crime scene, I'd be the first one to step up.
He offers her a drink. She shakes her head.
Look, I know what you're going through is rough. I lost my wife a few years ago, so I understand.
Should I be grieving?
No, of course not.
Then why would you empathize with me?
I'm just saying that your concern is understandable.
You said you mistook my house for one on Ridgecrest Lane.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work did you do there?
I'm afraid I can't discuss that.
I'm afraid I checked, Mr. Cutler. There is no Ridgecrest Lane. So yes, I'd say that my concern is more than understandable. Look, my husband made his share of enemies throughout the years, but I have a feeling you're not one of them. Please, I won't repeat anything you tell me. I just need to know for myself. Did you do any work at my house?
I would love to be of more assistance to you. And I hope the police find your husband. Now, if there's nothing else, have a really full day.
He opens the door for her.
I'm glad you're so friendly with the police.
She glares at Sherry as she leaves. Tom looks concerned. As Eddie crosses a road purposefully on his way to the run-down Roman's Hotel, a yellow cab is forced to brake hard to avoid him.
Eddie, Tom!
Tom is in a bathroom mopping up a pool of gore on the floor. Goodbye is written in blood on the wall. Eddie follows the janitor, fiddling with a bunch of keys, up the stairs. Tom is cleaning bloodstains from the bath.
Mr. Cutler, the police are here.
Thanks.
Stay on the plastic. Did you hear me say stay on the...
That's one way to skip out on your bill. You got a second?
Eddie walks into the scruffy bedroom.
Well, what a dump. I was gonna off myself. I think I go to the Four Seasons.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I'm sorry, I got a little drunk last night. I know you wanted to talk.
I'm kind of busy.
Maybe you could find some time. Forensic searched the Norcutt place yesterday. Floor to ceiling. Not a drop of blood, no sign of a struggle. Nothing.
Eddie lights a cigarette.
What they did find was chemicals, cleansing agents. Lots of them. And I'm not talking Ajax. So, I hear this. I remember you asking me about the case last
night. You following the lead here?
It's not my case. It's not my department. And right now, if you want, I'm not even a cop.
You know, last time I asked for your help, you almost lost your job.
Yeah, I got a little choppy back then. But I survived. So did you. I don't regret what we did. Do you?
Doesn't matter. Still gotta live with it.
Yeah, I live with it pretty good.
Eddie leans on the wall.
What's on your mind, Thomas?
Tom sits opposite Eddie.
Why didn't you call it in?
I don't know who Vaughn's got working in there now. I call it in to the wrong person, then suddenly I'm the one that goes missing.
Yeah, you could have told me last night.
I tried to tell you. I wanted to, but I wasn't supposed to know about it, so I decided not to know. Old habit.
You still got all the papers, right?
Yeah. Release forms, crime scene photos, everything's at the office.
Yeah, well, hang on to everything, because it's your alibi.
No, that just proves I was there, not that I didn't do it.
You were just doing a job. No one can hang a case on you.
But I had opportunity and ability.
But not the motive, right? We never took a penny from Vaughn. Right, Tom? Tom, you want me to help you out on this? You're going to have to tell me what's going on.
Eddie sits close to Tom.
You ever wonder why they stopped questioning us about Hill getting shanked in prison? Vaughn comes to me, he says he can make the whole inquiry go away if I just do a job for him. I'm thinking about Rose, and she's already lost a parent, so I do the job. Then I get tapped out by the funeral. I need money to start the new business, so I do another job. And another. I shake somebody down, look the other way, lose some evidence.
That was years ago, Tommy.
All the jury's gonna see is an old soldier still marching orders.
There ain't gonna be any jury. With everything Norcutt knew, you think Vaughn's gonna let anybody even find him?
Vaughn's not running things anymore.
Yeah, but his guys are. This case was closed before it opened. The whole investigation is a show. You remember how things work.
I panicked as soon as she told me her name was Norcutt. Now, I remember the name from back then. Norcutt was the money man. I looked her right in the eye and lied to her face. Just straight up lied.
Eddie gives Tom a reassuring pat on the shoulder.
Will Vaughn ever try to get to you?
Yeah, after you left. I told him where he could insert his offer. I've been riding a desk ever since. Price of honor, right?
Right.
Listen, you sit tight and I'll find out where Vargas is steering this thing and I'll let you know.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fuck thanks. Fuck you're welcome. It's just you and me. I'll talk to you soon.
Rose is watching TV.
Ah, that's the old redhead. No bitterness, no recrimination. Just a good swift left to the jaw.
Tom arrives home and sees his dinner on the table.
Come, Seth, we have so much to talk about.
I don't suppose
there's this thing. Alexander Graham Bell invented it.
Well, things ran a little late. I'm sorry. Dinner smells good.
It's not okay to leave your child at home alone. Anything could happen.
You want to start staying at Anita's again?
No, I want you to be home.
I am home. Hey, what's going on here? You're the one always saying how you can take care of yourself. Rose, the school project.
She watches TV.
Hey, I'm talking to you. Now, this project about your mom's got you thinking a lot.
At least someone's thinking about her.
Tom frowns, lost for words. Tom's van is outside a convenience store. Inside, in overalls, mask, and rubber gloves, Tom picks up blood-stained pickle jars and puts them in a bin. He turns around at the sound of sobbing. He spots an Asian woman sitting in a storeroom. She looks up at him as he gently closes the door. He takes his gloved hand off the doorknob and pulls down his visor. He sprays fluid onto a blood-stained glass cabinet. He sweeps a scraper across it. Thick streaks of blood run down it. He sits in his van on a city street, gripping the wheel. He watches teenagers skipping and playing ball in a caged play area. Anne Norcutt is swinging a skipping rope, smiling and counting. He stares at her grimly. She notices him, her head tilted curiously. She watches him drive off. Detective Chim Vargas is at Tom's office with Sherry.
I told you, he's out.
Then call him.
Jim, is there a problem?
How you doing, buddy? This is my partner, Darren Harris. Heard a lot about you.
Well, you know, Jim likes to talk. How can I help you?
Well, they want to search the place, but they don't have a warrant.
We don't want to search the place. Look, Tom, I'm in a bit of a bind, okay? Forensics found some industrial cleanser at the scene. They need some samples to match them up against, so I figure you're in the business.
Sure, why didn't you just give him the OSHA list?
Because he didn't ask for it. Instead, he came in here, barking like a damn dog, without a warrant.
Sherry, could I please have the OSHA list?
Of course.
Do any work in Ewing County?
No, not a lot. Rich people tend to die in hospitals.
Maybe you could check Ridgewood Way about a week or so ago. Last name, Norcutt.
Ridgewood Way.
He walks over to a filing cabinet.
Norcutt, I read about that case.
Tom pretends to look through the files while Jim flicks through a brochure.
No. Sorry, no Ridgewood Way.
You think we could snag a few samples? Really help us out?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Come on.
Jim sneers at Sherry, the PA, as he leaves. Tom takes the detectives down to the storeroom in the lift where Miguel is loading the shelves.
It's right here, guys.
Miguel ignores them.
Hola, amigo.
Tattooed Miguel turns his back.
I think. Where you get those?
Miguel. Go out to the van and get me some of those red bags, please.
No problem, Tom.
Jim stands in Miguel's way.
You ever heard of excuse me?
Is that English or Spanish?
Miguel passes Tom on his way out to the van.
When'd he get out?
6 months ago. I know his probation officer. He's a good kid.
What was he doing last Thursday night?
How the hell should I know? Ask him.
What about you?
Home. I'm home every night.
Credit card records say you were downtown at the Hyatt Thursday night.
Daryl looks accusingly at Tom, who smiles.
Oh, yeah. High school reunion.
High school reunion, huh? I skipped mine. Fuck 'em. What time you leave?
11:30. Why are you checking my records?
I'm just following up. What about Friday afternoon?
Downtown, feline infestation. You want to see Polaroids of litter boxes?
Maybe some other time.
Is that it? I gotta go back out.
No. You've been very cooperative.
Make me happy if you wrote that down, too.
Jim looks across at Daryl, then holds up his notebook to show Tom.
Happy?
As a pig in shit.
Tom turns and leaves.
Miguel, give these guys a hand, would you?
Tom hurries back to his office, sits at his desk, and unlocks the drawer. He lifts the tray and takes out the large envelope, keeping his eye on the door. He stands up and tucks the envelope into the back of his trousers and pulls his jacket down over it. He leaves the office and tosses the envelope down onto the passenger seat of his van as he climbs in. He's startled by Miguel opening the door.
I'm not done with stuck in this one yet.
You can do it later, okay?
Oh, listen, my wife, she wanted me to invite you over for dinner tomorrow night. You don't say thanks. You know? Hey, mama can cook, yeah. You know, she's always watching them food channels.
You know, I'd really like to, but I can't. But I'll take a rain check on that, all right? Look, Miguel, if those cops ask you any questions, don't sweat it. Just answer them straight, okay?
Yeah, no problem. Brother, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Tom and Miguel touch knuckles. As Tom drives off, Jim watches him suspiciously from the storeroom. A girls' soccer match. Tom and Eddie are watching Rose play.
Go, Rosie!
I have a day, maybe a day and a half, before Vargas gets those test results back and he puts me at the scene.
He ordered enough tests to keep the lab busy for a month. They're hoping the whole thing dies down. Vargas is just going through the motions.
What if he's not? Once they find out who was on Vaughn's payroll and those test results come in, I'm suspect number one. When they need somebody to throw to the wolves, that somebody's gonna be me.
They're not throwing anybody to any wolves. As long as Norcutt stays missing, they can't even prove there was a crime.
Something fishy here. The wife. The wife. Why hadn't she told Vargas about me?
Maybe she believes you.
Rose scores. Tom's back is turned. Rose, beaming, is congratulated by the team. Her smile fades when she realizes her dad wasn't watching.
Tom, you missed it.
Way to go, Rose!
You missed it, man. You should have seen it. She was great.
Rose looks crestfallen. The two teams touch hands. Rose leaves with Tom and Eddie.
How about pizza?
No, we can't.
Huh?
We can't. She got homework. I got work to do.
I did my homework.
Tom glares at Rose.
Another time, kiddo. Okay?
Thanks for coming, Uncle Eddie.
You're so welcome.
You just broke a rib.
It was really great to see you.
It was great seeing you, too.
She's great, man. I'll dig some more. Give you a call tomorrow. You think you can sit on those hands till then?
Done.
All right.
All right.
It's really nice being with you today. See you, Rosie.
See you.
Rose is in her bedroom.
Come in.
Hey. Kill a Mockingbird's on 46. You want to watch?
Thanks. I'll be out in a minute.
Finish that report yet?
Not yet.
Tom nods and glances down at an article. Officers questioned in prison slaying.
Where'd you dig this up? This was years ago.
Internet. Why did they question you if he was killed in jail?
Well... You know, sometimes people think the police can do anything they want. That's not the case. They questioned us. Nothing came of it.
What was his name? The man who did it. It only says inmate.
Tom notices a photo of himself with his wife.
I just want to know.
I told you 100 times, Daniel Hill. He can't hurt us anymore.
Tom looks at his daughter sadly. A stained glass window. Anne walks past it and up the aisle of a church. She sits in a pew next to Tom. Candles burn at the altar.
Driven by this church 1,000 times and never came in. It's lovely.
It's private. So will you follow?
Be following me.
You're wearing a wire.
No. Are you?
He looks away.
Why were you watching me yesterday? Do you have something to tell me?
Ask you. Why haven't you told the police about me?
I don't trust the police.
Look, I know your husband was talking to the DA. I know he was going to testify against Robert Vaughn, so I need to know who else he was going to implicate.
She nods.
Did you clean my house? Look, Mr. Cutler, this has to be a two-way street. I haven't gone to the police so far, and I'm not about to, but please, I need to know what happened for myself.
He stares at the ceiling.
I used to come to this church twice a week. Once for Mass,
wants for confession.
He leans forward in the pew.
That was a long time ago. Yes. Yeah, I cleaned your house.
She stares ahead.
Looked like a legitimate crime scene. Whoever did it had access to the materials and they knew procedure.
How did he get
in? He was shot.
Where exactly?
Living room. On the couch.
Who hired you?
That's what I'm trying to find out, Mrs. Norcutt. Two-way street, right?
Yeah.
What was your husband going to tell the grand jury?
She looks down and nods.
I think it's better if I show you.
This used to be an old fire station, and now it's a safe haven for kids.
Tom looks at a photo of Vaughn cutting a ribbon.
Oh, a mighty big pair of scissors.
That's Robert Vaughn. He did the initial fundraising. Without him, we wouldn't be here.
My office is upstairs.
In her office, she turns the dial on a safe and opens the door to take out a ledger.
John wrote everything by hand so that it could be authenticated. He called this his get-out-of-jail-free card.
What is it?
It's an account ledger, but it's in some kind of code. Look, these numbers look like dates, and I'm assuming that these are dollar amounts, but this middle column, I don't know. They're too short to be account numbers, right? Could they be phone numbers?
No. Badge numbers.
Are you sure?
Yeah. This is a record of every cop who's on the payroll. Jesus, this thing goes back at least 10 years.
Is there any way we can find names?
If I still had access, which I don't, it could take days, possibly weeks, to match these badge numbers with names. Plus, we don't have any evidence. Everybody in here is a suspect.
All right, a couple of weeks ago, Vaughn came over to the house with another man. It ended up in a shouting match, and I haven't seen Vaughn since. But after that, John became really paranoid about the book. He kept talking about going to the DA.
Well, who was the other man?
Detective Vargas.
Tom looks shocked.
Okay, look, I need you to write down the names of every cop you talked to since this happened, including Vargas.
Okay.
Maybe I can get their badge numbers.
He flicks over a page and reads badge number 56689. He stares at the page. Tom pulls up in his van on a piece of waste ground near Eddie's car. He gets out and climbs in next to Eddie.
Charming neighborhood. I've been looking for a summer home.
Got that list for me?
Eddie pulls a piece of paper from his pocket.
Marty Pappas, Darren Harris, Jim Vargas. What do you need with all these badges?
I met with a wife. Seems Mr. Norcutt kept records. Every cop that's ever taken a cent in this city is written in a ledger listed by badge number.
Jesus, Tom, what do you... You know how many guys Vaughn would send after you if he knew you had something like that?
Let me worry about that.
Now take my advice. Forget you ever saw any ledger.
Not that simple.
Yeah, it is. Somebody asks, you say, what ledger?
I'm in the ledger.
Jesus Christ. So burn it. It's your motive. Get rid of it. It's practically got a bow on it.
Poor woman's husband's dead. You want me to burn the only thing that might help her find the killer?
What do you care? She's just some rich bitch up the hill wearing a $1 million blindfold. Get the book, light a match.
Thanks, partner.
What the fuck you call me?
They both get out.
Partners stick together. Huh? Partners follow the plan. I told you to sit tight. You dig up some book half the fucking city will kill you for. Walk away, Tom. Forget it.
Walk away? I tried to walk away from everything, from all this shit. Look where I am.
All the shit. Shit like me, right? You pick up the phone for the first time, and I don't know how long, and is it because you want to catch up or bullshit? You know, let me see my goddaughter? No, you need a goddamn favor. And then again, you're family to me, Tom. What am I to you? Huh? It's a fucking last resort. That's right. You don't want my advice, fine. Take it or leave it, but don't go calling me a partner like it means a goddamn thing to you.
Scared I'm gonna find you in the book there, Eddie?
He opens his jacket.
49733. Here, you want a pen?
No, I got it.
You always had a good memory. That's your fucking problem. You're gonna get yourself killed, man.
Eddie drives off at speed. Tom walks up the path to the Norcutts' house, carrying his clipboard. The red light on a coffee machine goes out. A hand removes the jug of coffee. Tom is in the cloakroom, scrubbing his hands. The coffee jug is placed on a tray with cups. Tom continues to wash his hands. As Anne carries the tray into the sitting room, Tom dries his hands. She stares at the pristine white leather sofa. She imagines a bullet leaving a gun and blood spattering over the sofa. Her hands shake holding the tray. Tom looks in the mirror over the basin. Tom runs into the sitting room where the tray lies smashed on the floor.
You okay?
Yeah. Oh, Tom, please, oh, just leave it. It's not worth saving.
No, I know how you feel.
Tom, I can't stay here.
Well, where you want to go? You got relatives?
Yeah, but no family right now. Here, Tom, oh, look, I got it.
I'm sorry. I'll make us some more.
Ow!
She cuts herself on a piece of broken china. She looks at Tom with desperation.
I really need to go someplace. I just don't feel safe being alone.
Okay. I think I know a place.
Tom stands up and walks over to the window, dialing his mobile, while she watches, kneeling on the floor. Nighttime. They walk from his van up the path to a small house. Miguel opens the door.
Hey, bro. Hey, come on in. Come on in.
Zan.
Hey, pleasure. This is my wife, Gabriela.
Hey.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Zan?
Hi, very nice to meet you. And this is baby Julio.
Aww.
Hey, little man.
Oh, this one's Lila. Say hello, Lila.
Hello.
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 Coming
someday. Mm. I'll let that halo fool you.
I'm seeing my horses.
Oh, not now, mi amor.
No, that's okay. You want me to see your horses? You want to tell me?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go check on dinner.
Okay. She didn't feel safe alone, and I couldn't take her to my place because, you know, Rose wouldn't understand. Thanks.
Yeah, it's like you said. My client's in trouble. You gotta help him out.
Miguel's little girl appears from behind the sofa, smiles and cheekily pokes out her tongue at Tom, who pulls a silly face back at her. She waggles her head at him. She runs over to him at the table. He lifts her up onto his lap as Anne enters, patting the baby as Miguel feeds him in his high chair.
This smells so good.
Very hot.
Oh, wow.
Lila,
honey, in your chair, please.
No, it's fine. I used to eat like this all the time.
Anne looks tense. Miguel kisses his wife's hand as she passes.
Hey, Tom, could you, give us the honors? You said grace.
Me?
They hold hands.
Heavenly Father, thank you for good friends, good food, and bless the hands that prepared it.
Please.
I know this is less than what you used to, but...
It's perfect. Hey, believe it or not, I used to live about 3 blocks away from here. A studio apartment above this Korean place. You remember Sun's Kitchen?
Yeah, I know Sun's. It's not there anymore.
No? That whole building isn't there anymore. You know, if you would have asked me back then how my life was going to turn out, I would have said like this. Warm house, kids running around, magnets on the refrigerator.
She looks down at the cigarette she's holding and shrugs.
John didn't want kids.
Tom studies her.
But we almost had one recently. We lost it.
Sorry.
So am I.
Tom leans back and looks up at the night sky, hands clasped in front of him. She turns to him.
What's the worst thing you've seen?
He looks at her mutely.
Oh, I want to know.
He looks around, then sits up.
Worst thing I've ever seen. That would have to be before this job, when I was a cop. A homicide. Victim was a woman in her 30s, two gunshot wounds to the chest. Shooter was there to rob the place. Victim put up a fight, he shot her. There was moderate blood pooling on the floor, some spatter on the beds and walls.
That's the worst thing?
Down the hall in another bedroom, there was a kid. Two paramedics were sitting with her. She was clutching a stuffed animal, a frog. She found her mother's body and called 911. Tough kid, think about it. 6 years old, and she still had sense enough to call 911. But those eyes that saw something no kid should ever have to see. Those eyes looked at me, looked into me, through me. Those eyes.
He tenses his jaw and nods.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
She was your daughter.
She wipes away a tear and shakes her head.
Did you catch him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got him.
The outside light goes off. A woman crosses the road in front of Tom as he drives home. He glances in his rearview mirror and pulls over. A police car stops behind him. He waits for the officer to approach. He shines a torch on Tom, who looks apprehensive.
License and registration, please.
Tom hands him the documents through the open window.
Is there a problem, officer?
Their tail lights out. So where are you headed?
Is that speeding too?
I asked where you're headed.
Home.
I live a couple blocks from here.
The police car camera's switched off.
I'm a retired police officer. Is there a problem?
I know who you are, Tom.
The officer smashes him in the face with his torch, then leaves. Tom holds his hand over his eye. The police car speeds away. Rose reads at the table as Tom arrives home.
What happened to your face?
Nothing, I'm okay.
He hangs up his keys. She wipes his wound.
Don't be a baby.
Burned.
He fans his face, sitting on the toilet seat in the bathroom, while she picks up a cotton bud and dabs the cut.
So you're not going to tell me what happened to you?
It's nothing. Your dad's a tough old bird, I can tell you.
She closes the first aid box.
That's it?
Yeah.
He stands up and looks in the mirror.
Oh, you're pretty good at this. Should I be saving for med school?
I don't care what you do.
What was that? What'd you say? Hey! That attitude of yours has got to stop now.
Why won't you tell me what happened to you?
Because it doesn't involve you. I'm handling it.
I thought we were a team, Dad. What if tomorrow you come home stabbed or shot? Or what if you don't come home at all?
It's not going to happen.
It happened to her.
And you think that's going to happen to me?
Yes, I'm fucking terrified of it.
She looks out of her bedroom window.
Rose, that's not going to happen. Look at me. I'm never going to let anything like that happen again. And we are a team. We're a good team. We look out for each other. But we don't dwell on things we have no control over. This project, I mean, look what it's doing to you.
There is no stupid report, Dad.
There's no... I don't understand.
I'm starting to forget her.
Oh, Rose, look, you can't spend your life going through this box looking for her. She's not there. She's gone. It's just you and me now, okay? Let's just put this away, all right? Just... put it away.
She picks up the box and empties it on the bed.
Rose, pick this stuff up.
You don't understand.
Rose,
you don't understand.
Pick that shit up. What is wrong with you? Have you lost your mind?
You don't get it.
She throws things around the room, sobbing. He leaves. Tom's bedroom door is open. Clothed, he lies on the bed, looking thoughtful. He sits up on the side of the bed, the ledger and the large envelope are next to him. He reaches underneath the bed for an ornate box. He opens it to reveal a gun, cross and chain, and perfume bottle. He takes out the scent and leans forward, holding it up. He squirts some in the air, shuts his eyes, and inhales through his nose, using his hand to waft it over his face. He covers his eyes with his hand. The light from his bedroom floods through the open door into the corridor. He looks around, then, impatiently, waves his hand to clear the air and sits up. He gets up and enters the bathroom. He turns on the taps, squirts some soap onto his hands, and washes them thoroughly. He shakes off the water and turns off the taps, glancing in the mirror. He wipes his hands on a white towel, then sniffs them. He remembers hanging up his keys. He remembers finding Anne's key under the pot and opening her front door. He returns to his bedroom and tips the key out of the large envelope onto the bed. He picks it up and studies it. Daytime, he's driving the van.
Hello?
I'm coming to get you.
Wait, I'm not at the house, I'm at the hospital. Vargas called me this morning. He said he wanted me to identify a body. The press found out John was going to testify. It's on the news. They're everywhere.
What hospital?
West Trenton General.
All right, just stay there. I know a back way in.
She shuts her phone. He drives past the waiting press and parks. Anne picks up her bag and gets out of her car, wearing dark glasses, and climbs into the van next to Tom.
You all right?
Yeah, thank you.
They drive away past the press pack at the front entrance. As Tom and Anne walk down a hospital corridor, two men in scrubs wheel a corpse on a trolley.
Sure it's not John's?
No, his key was still on the ring they found in his car.
Anybody else have one? Sister? Neighbor?
No one. John was paranoid. He didn't want copies lying around.
Maybe he had one made for someone he didn't tell you about.
As in a woman? That wasn't John's style. I'm not making keys for them anyway. Look, I don't see how any of this is helping us.
Well, Vaughn didn't need this to look like an abduction. If he'd known about the ledger, he would have ransacked your house trying to find it. Someone with a key wanted you to come home to a clean house.
They enter the morgue, where a man is washing blood off a tray.
Hello. Oh, Tom, you scared me.
This is Ann Norcutt.
Okay. Right. Wait, does Vargas know you're here?
I was hoping we could get through this without him.
Well, he kind of needs to be here, but I don't know, maybe we could do the paperwork without
him. I don't understand why I have to do this. They have enough photos of John. Please.
Oh, they didn't tell you. Well, the corpse does not have much of a face.
Tom glares at him.
Mrs. Norcutt, I guess really all we need from you is to identify a couple of DMs and the wedding band.
DMs?
Distinguishing marks. If I could get you to sign these, just the top portion.
Excuse me, is there a restroom? I feel faint.
Yes. I'm sorry, just the way you came in, right?
She rushes out.
Boy, don't get to practice your bedside manner around here.
Well, how bad is the body?
Rat food, but it's him. I checked the scars against the records. Got an appendectomy. We're through over here. Got the one from Bob Barker. I got Larry coming over here to check his teeth, just to make sure. You know Larry?
Bob Barker?
Yeah, you know, spayed and neutered your pets. Guy got snipped.
When? When did he have the vasectomy?
A few years ago. Something like that. It's right here in the records.
Jim Vargas arrives.
Hey, I was just about to call you.
What the hell are you doing here?
Lunch with a colleague. Ty's still good? Yeah. But I gotta finish this thing up. I got a good spot, too.
Just
detective.
Miss Norca. You know this man?
No, I've never met him. Excuse me. Can we get this over with? I don't feel very well. Thank you.
Jim looks suspiciously at Tom.
I don't like this, Tom. I'm seeing you all the time these days. That's not good.
That hurts me, Jim.
Well, here's the deal.
The body is pulled out in a drawer.
I know we've never been all that tight, but I've never been against you, even after that day.
What thing would that be?
I mean, so what? Piece of shit catches a knife in the yard. Big fucking deal. Some people want to bring you down. Make an example of you, not me.
Anne leans on a table.
He violated your family. You had every right.
Does this have a fucking point?
The point is, you don't want me against you. That guy in there didn't die in prison. He's connected. I gotta bring all the guns. So why don't you tell me, what are you doing here?
Lunch. You wanna join us? Okay, we don't have to have time.
Are you fucking her? Nothing to be ashamed of. I would.
I'm not gonna hit you, Jim. You're gonna have to find another reason to arrest me.
Oh, I don't need a reason. I could just take you in. Sweat you out a few hours, a few days maybe.
Okay. So let's settle this between us. How's 10 grand, son? I can get fine to write you another check.
Detective!
Nice knowing you, Tom. Don't fucking move.
As Jim re-enters the morgue, Tom laughs. Anne leaves.
Mrs. Norcutt has identified the deceased as her husband, John H. Norcutt.
Jim looks back at the office. Tom has left. He arrives at Eddie's home.
Jesus, what happened to you?
Ran into a blue wall. I called the precinct. They told me you were here.
Surprised you remember where here is.
Vargas is in the ledger, but I don't think he had anything to do with this.
You want soda? Beer?
They didn't kill Norcutt for the book. She's got some guy on the side. I think it was his key I used to get in the house.
You're still in the same place on 8th, right? Yeah, I haven't been down here in forever.
Cut the shit, Eddie.
Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't a friendly visit.
Do you hear what I said?
Yeah, a boyfriend killed a husband. What else is new?
What do you want from me, man? An apology?
Oh, fuck your apology. You don't owe me anything.
I changed jobs, okay? I changed houses, cars, clothes. The only thing I kept was Rose. I'm doing a hell of a job with her. I didn't want to cut you off, man. I had to.
Eddie looks hurt.
Okay, I fucked up, all right? Is that what you want to hear?
I just want my partner back, Tommy. Not for a day. You know, not for one last thing. Back, man.
He hands Tom a beer.
I'm back.
Yeah?
All right. They both take a drink.
All right, so shut up about that. Where is she now?
Talking to Vargas. God only knows what she's telling him.
Can you get your hands on the book?
Mm-hmm.
Then call Vargas, arrange a trade. Give him the book, he'll drop the case on you.
No. We gotta go over his head. We gotta cut him off before he can make a case.
Cut him off with what?
Truth.
They're gonna wanna know how you know about the book, why you didn't come forward sooner. They're gonna be all over your ass.
Well, she can back us up.
What if she doesn't? She's probably loyal to this guy.
It's a chance I'll have to take.
Listen, Tom, the best shot we have is with Vargas directly. I'll go with you, make sure he didn't try to pull any shit. We could take care of this, the three of us. We could do it tonight.
I'm gonna make the call. Well, I gotta pick Rose up first. Give me an hour. We can make the trade at the old depot.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. The old depot, in and out. Hey! Well, I don't even get a goodbye.
Bye, Eddie.
Tom has noticed on the mantelpiece a plaque from Arms for Hope with Eddie's name on it as Volunteer of the Year, presented by Anne Norcutt. Eddie looks sick as he realizes Tom has seen it. Tom arrives at Anne's driveway. Her car boot is open, revealing suitcases and a soft toy with a pink ribbon. He notices blood dripping from the lid of the boot onto the bumper. She is inside in a dressing gown, rinsing her cut finger in the kitchen sink.
Anne, you all right?
How did you get in?
He holds up the key.
Oh, of course. I'm fine. It just keeps opening up.
So where are you going?
Nowhere.
Why is your car packed?
She sighs impatiently.
I, know who this key belongs to, and so do you.
She leaves the sink and heads for the stairs.
You know, you really shouldn't be here. Vargas is asking a lot of questions about you.
Eddie Lorenzo was my partner. He was my friend, my best man. He's my daughter's godfather.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop lying to me. We need to go to the police and tell them everything.
Tell them what, Tom? It's a key. So what? It could belong to anybody.
And what about that baby? Could that be anybody's too?
She comes downstairs.
Get out.
What, did you ask him to do it? Is that what happened?
He didn't do it. He would never do something like that. He told me that and I believe him. Now get out, Tom.
He's lying.
Oh, go ahead. Call the police. I'll just tell him you broke in.
I'm calling Eddie.
Wait.
If he still has his key, he's innocent, and I'll go. Just ask him.
Please don't do this.
Ask.
Please.
Eddie?
Tom looks furious.
I was gonna ask you, can you give the key back just in case? Okay, good. Okay, no, that's all.
Well?
He already threw it away.
Tom turns away exasperated and sits on the stairs.
You should have seen him, Tom. He was so happy when I told him. He said it was a girl and he ran out and bought all these presents. But I couldn't tell John. So I told Ed that I had a miscarriage, but he didn't believe me. He thought John forced me.
We have to tell the police.
No. Tom, just give me the key. Nobody needs to know about this. If you go to the police, I'll deny it and so will he.
That's the chance I have to take.
Tom, please don't be so naive. We all have secrets.
He pauses in the doorway.
I'm tired of keeping secrets.
Tom and Rose pull up in the van outside their apartment block.
I have to go and see someone. It may take a while, so I need you to go and stay at Anita's till I get back.
I don't need a babysitter.
I called her already. She's expecting you.
Dad!
Look, no arguments, please.
She starts to get out.
Hey. No hug?
She leans over reluctantly. He kisses her forehead.
Love you.
She grabs her bag and gets out. He flinches as she slams the door. He watches her go in, then picks up his phone and dials.
Yeah, Detective Vargas, please.
A police car arrives in a freight yard passing stationary trains. A second police car arrives, slowly driving under a bridge. Vargas pulls up in his unmarked car and waits on the derelict platform. Tom arrives in his van and parks behind Vargas, gets out and walks over to join him.
You'll be here.
Vargas looks around.
Look, relax, Tom. We got 3 units covering the road in, 2 more down on the tracks. No way he's getting out of here.
As night falls, a train passes, headlights blazing.
I know it doesn't feel like it right now, but you're doing the right thing.
He may be your buddy, but he's made some mistakes.
Best to let the law handle it from here.
Save that shit for the TV cameras. We both know why you're here. You're saving Robert Vaughn's ass.
Fair enough. You got that ledger? You'll get Lorenzo. This goes away, you go on with your life.
You'll get it when he's in custody.
Fair enough, okay?
Rose, I thought I told you to go to Anita's.
Oh, it's okay, I'm not alone. Uncle Eddie's here.
Tom stiffens with fear.
Put him on.
Okay.
Hey, Tom.
Running
a little late. We need to talk.
Come alone.
Yeah, great. See you soon.
Eddie pulls the phone lead out of its socket unnoticed by Rose. Tom glances at Vargas, then runs to his van.
Tom, where you going?
He swings his van around. He dashes up the stairs to his apartment. He bursts in.
Hey, here he is.
Hey, Dad.
Rosie insisted on making dinner.
Rose, I want you to go next door. Now.
Yeah, I got one ready for you.
Tom breaks a glass.
Whoa, hey! That's okay, Rosie. Take it easy. Everything's all right. You just had a long, hard week at work. We're gonna sit down here, have a little dinner, talk things over so everybody knows what's going on here.
Next door, Rose, now.
Rose leaves the room. Eddie sips his drink.
All you had to do was show up, do your job, and then go home. I had it all figured out.
You set me up.
I had you protected. I was protecting both of you. I couldn't let her come home and see that.
You call this protection?
I needed you to back off. You know, I'm sorry. I should have known better.
Come on, let's go.
What are you doing to me?
Hey, go.
Wait. Listen, we can still do this. Get Vargas on the phone. We can hammer out some kind of angle.
I don't work like that anymore.
What, you take some kind of oath as a janitor?
Tom shoves Eddie.
Oh, okay, I see how it is now. Anything goes when it's good for you, but when I need help, Where was that conscience of yours when Daniel Hill was bleeding to death in the prison yard, huh?
Tom glances at Rose.
That keep you up, too? No, you were fucking sleeping like a baby!
Tom hurls Eddie onto the glass-topped coffee table. Eddie grabs his gun from his pocket, aiming it at Tom. Rose watches, terrified.
Check your loyalties, buddy. You owe me.
The gun away, Eddie.
Norcutt was a fucking murderer. Period.
Who'd he kill, Eddie? Nobody.
No, not nobody. He made her do it.
He pulls a shard of glass from his arm.
He made her kill her own baby.
She lied to you.
You think I can't have what you have? She was gonna have our child, but he bought her off. Just like he buys everybody off. He tried to buy me off.
Put the piece away.
So that night I went there, I tried to write a check so I would leave.
Blood drips from his arm.
Check!
Blood from his arm pours onto the rug.
She was gonna have a baby with me. Tommy, with me. She was gonna have our child.
Stop waving your fucking gun around in my house!
He points it at Tom.
She was gonna have our child. I had no choice. A man is allowed to do anything if he's protecting his family. You know I'm right, Tom.
Tom stares at the gun.
Still family here? We still family? Huh?
Eddie glances out of the window as three police cars pull up.
It's over, Eddie.
Oh, God! Who's gonna clean you up, Tom?
Tom stares at the barrel of the gun. A finger presses the trigger. Blood spatters over the wall. A bullet case bounces on the wooden floor. Tom opens his eyes. Eddie lies on his back on the rug, a bullet wound in his head. Tom turns towards Rose. She holds a smoking gun. Tom looks down at Eddie, a pool of blood from his head spreading on the cream rug. Rose looks shell-shocked, still gripping the gun. Tom takes it from her, embracing her as she stands in the corridor. Eddie lies spread-eagled on the rug in the sitting room. Blue lights flash. Rose sits staring ahead, a jacket over her shoulders. Printed on yellow tape, police line, do not cross. Nearby, a cluster of police cars. In the middle, Tom is talking to Vargas. He hands him a ledger. They shake hands.
Thanks. I'll burn this book and we'll all sleep better.
Tom looks over at Eddie's body being wheeled out in a yellow bag. A photographer snaps it. A reporter makes notes as it's wheeled away on a yellow trolley past Rose, sitting in the back of an open ambulance.
Go on, Tom. We'll clean this up.
Tom looks at Vargas and nods.
Most people don't know this, but when someone dies in your house and leaves a mess, it's up to the family to clean it up. Most people don't have the stomach for that kind of thing. That's where my dad comes in.
Tom hurries over to Rose.
My dad says that stains have memories. They remember their shape, their color, their smell.
Eddie and pregnant Anne smile.
And the really deep ones return again and again.
Anne clutches a pillow, sobbing in bed. A hand cuts out the blood-stained section of rug.
With these stains, it's easier to start over than to try cleaning them. Sometimes you have a choice. Sometimes you don't. All you can do is hope.
In Tom's apartment, Miguel removes the hood of his overalls and takes off his rubber gloves. The end.
I know you love me. I should be moving on. Taking everything we had. No, it ain't right. Sometimes. Back. I know you love me when sometimes you light my way, my dearest friend. We need to hold on sometimes when the world is gray. Don't tear me down. Getting old.